News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got history on the brain here. No changes in the normal format, because we're going to start hour two of the El Paso History Show with El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her story today is about a German immigrant to El Paso in the 1940s.
U.S. space program starts at Fort Bliss. May 1945, it's the close of World War II, and a group of German V-2 rocket scientists led by modern father of rocketry, Wilhelm von Braun, gladly surrender to American troops in Germany. The team of more than 100 scientists were swept off to Fort Bliss, where they continued their rocket research under the program named Operation Paperclip. While at Fort Bliss, von Braun and the scientists trained U.S. military, industrial, and university personnel in the intricacies of rockets and guided missiles. You could say that America's race to space actually started right here in El Paso 65 years ago. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I just want to hear that music and go flying through space.
I thought I had to add that Space Odyssey 2000 or 2001 Space Odyssey,
yeah.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, that shows how White Sands, kind of, you go from the millions of years ago to where we're into
space
at this end, and we still are.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, we're still progressing off into space into other planets.
Well, they still close the highway out there, and it's not for those big animals.
Oh, I know.
It's for those big machines known as rockets.
Yes, yes.
Carl Lombaugh is still in the house, and he is still here talking about stuff. And the book that he's talking about right now, Apache Land from Those Who Lived It. Now, that book is by Keith Humphreys, and it's available for sale on Amazon, but it's a lot cheaper if you go to the museum in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And it helps the museum.
And Carl Lombaugh is here. I want to ask you about Apache Land here, Carl, because as a kid, I've known about Ruidoso, New Mexico, all my life. I've been there. You can't do that quietly, can you?
No, I can't. I'm taking a picture.
I see. But the thing about Ruidoso is we always ran into these Mescalero Indians, and I got to thinking after I got older and realized most Indians didn't fare as well as those people. They ended up with a huge mountain range, a pristine ski run potential. They put that on there. They have a huge resort now that they got cooked up there. Most Indians don't get that kind of beginning. How come the Mescalero Apaches had a better deal than the rest of the Apaches?
Well, they were there to begin with. It was their homeland. And it was an early reservation. It was before the Civil War, or not necessarily before the Civil War, but during the Civil War period and right after the Civil War, before a whole lot of other people came in. And so they were basically given the land that they were on.
Legally by the feds.
Legally by the feds.
So that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
Because this is their land. It always
Absolutely.
Has been. Well, where you go to some other people, they were displaced and moved to Florida, moved to Oklahoma, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And so those Indians had no homeland anymore.
Right. And the Chiricahua, the Warm Springs Chiricahua Victorios people were also given a reservation, but it didn't come along until 1974 when Grant signed it off there at Warm Springs, west of TRC. And the mining interests and the politics of the time basically pushed them out of there, forced them away, and that was a sad thing.
So the Indians in Warm Springs, the Chiricahua Apaches, had a treaty, had a reservation, and the mining white guys came along and kicked them out.
Basically, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of white guys mining, kicking them out, had Oñate found what they ultimately found over there in the Black Hills when the way of silver, it would have been the mountain he was looking for.
Oh, you mean the big load down by Lake Valley?
Somewhere down in there, there was a bridal chamber, it was called.
Exactly, yeah, there at Lake Valley. And that would have been a huge thing for the Spaniards. And they were noting mines as they came up the river. There are mines here and mines there. And they you know, in contradiction to all the stories about lost gold, the Spaniards were silver miners. They weren't necessarily gold miners.
Well, they also were looking for iron so they could make weapons, as I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
They Oñate rolled in with 88 carretas. Two of them were loaded with mining equipment,
mm-hmm.
and that was in the manifest. Mm-hmm. You can see what they brought with them. But the point being is that Oñate's father had found a huge silver deposit in Zacatecas, Mexico, mm-hmm. that made him famous, that made him rich, that made the kid into it. And the kid at 48 years old showed up in New Mexico trying to duplicate Daddy's Silver Mountain, mm-hmm. and he came within about 40 miles of it. It sounds like.
Well, he passed by a lot of silver. He just didn't know where it was.
He also put holes all over the place here. There's holes all mm-hmm. over the Franklin Mountains mm-hmm. that have been covered up, many of them, not all of them, but anyway.
Well, he got all the way out into Oklahoma looking around at things, and just recently there was an archaeologist, I believe it was Oklahoma, found the village where Oñate had approached the village, and it was a huge village. Oñate described it as 20,000 people.
Wow.
And nobody believed there were that many people there, but now the archaeologists are starting to think, yep, there probably were. And they had all retreated from Oñate's approach, but another group of Indians was coming over to make war on the first group of Indians, and so they attacked Oñate.
Wow.
And going back to the cannonballs mentioned earlier, Oñate had a small cannon, and in the narrative, they talk about using these cannonballs against these other Indians in an arroyo. And the archaeologist, Donald Blakeslee, a young boy working with him, 12 years old, found the cannonballs.
Was it copper?
And I don't know if they were copper or not. But good question. But anyway, that's just recently happened.
I presume Oñate won that battle because he came back into New Mexico.
He made it back, but almost everybody was wounded. I mean, they were fighting a lot of Native Americans.
Now, see, there's an Oñate story we don't really know here.
No.
Because it had nothing to do with us, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But there he went. Okay, to the deal about the museum in Truth or Consequences. Run that by again. Name of the museum?
Okay, Geronimo Springs Museum. And it's owned by the nonprofit Sierra County Historical Society. It's been around since the 1970s. They've got wonderful collections that cover the whole span of Sierra County history. And it's really a must-see. You'll spend a couple of hours in there. Depending on what you're interested in, there's something there for you.
Well, if you're flying by on your way to Albuquerque or Santa Fe, spend some time in there. See what happens.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
On your way.
Absolutely.
Okay, now this book. What's the book?
Okay, well, going back to Keith Humphreys, we were talking about him. He grew up in West Texas. He loved the old-time stories. He made it through World War II after collecting a lot of these stories with photographs and so on, retired from White Sands and started taking painting lessons, and then he did 80 oil paintings depicting the scenes that these old-timers had told him about and taken him to. So he's got an image of Billy the Kid escaping from the burning building with George Coe watching from the adjoining Tunstall store, and George Coe showed him that and talked to him, and so you hear George Coe's voice in Humphrey's prose. And then all this other myriad of stories from Spanish mining, Apache attacks, and then the beauty of Humphrey's is it wasn't always the spectacular. He has an image of the little street boy selling wood in Mesilla. He has a painting of the Texas wagon train coming down Loman in Las Cruces toward the ditch in the old mill. He describes how these people came back years later, and these two women who had been in that wagon train, and they wanted to go see where the wagons had camped after they'd gone through Las Cruces. Well, the wagons used to camp where the federal courthouse is today. It used to be the high school football field. And so there's all these wonderful little details in Humphrey's books. It brings it all to life, and you hear it from their voices. The prose is absolutely wonderful.
It also explains that there's all history everywhere you look around here.
Oh, there is, absolutely.
I mean, you can go out to the Keystone site over here where they have this 4,500-year-old village under the sand. But up on top of the sand, you see cracked rocks and fire middens all over the place. The more contemporary Apaches were staying there as well in the last couple hundred years. So history is everywhere around here. What's interesting is that because of the climate, we get to then go see it still there, generally speaking. You go back east and you have a thing go on, and then it gets overgrown and you can't find it again in the forest. But around here, it's still sitting there.
Well, a lot of it is, and because so much of it is just sitting there on the surface, we think we can see it all, and we can't, because there are some places in the Southwest that are pretty deeply buried. And so things, a couple of meters deep, you just aren't going to see unless you dig down there.
And then construction comes along, and you find all kinds of stuff.
There you go.
So tell us about this book now. This book is a fundraiser, but that's what they get out of it. What do you get out of it when you get this book?
Well,
look at this book. It's amazing. First of all, Carl, we have to do the test. You ready, Sergio? The test? That's how big the book is. You had to drop it on the... That's how big the book is.
Sergio's head just exploded.
I warned him. But that's how we tell how big a book is. Now, what's in it that we need to know?
Well, it's hard to describe it because there's just so many different stories from so many different periods across West Texas, southern New Mexico, and northern Mexico in this book. He sort of moves from one to the other.
There's a list of them in here. He's got a map going from Fort Frio Town. Where's that? Somewhere down in Central Texas. But the thing is, this Keith Humphrey's book. Talk about the paintings, maybe. Oh, here's the table of contents: recreation of Maggie Graham, The End Is in Sight, Burro Mendoza, The Freighter. I mean, it's just little El Molina, Cordoba's Mill, the Mesilla Ferry, the Lost Wagons. This is just little stories from all over the place.
That's right. That's right.
Oh my God.
Everywhere he found an old-timer that could tell him a story, he gathered that story. He wrote it down in those words that he heard it, and he gathered archival photographs. He took his own photographs. Like I say, he was flying an airplane taking over Janos, taking pictures of the street that Mangus Coloradus rode down when this guy's father was up on the roof, you know, with a gun, watching Mangus come in with a wounded son. And he puts all this together in the book. It's the most unique piece of work I've ever seen.
It's
this combination of prose and art and oral history and real history and archival photographs. And then his paintings and his prose is just amazing stuff.
Well, let me give you one on Barney Takes Two. And the drawing up here is a gunfight in a bar. And this is how it starts out. Here in early October 1896 at Pecos, Texas, in the Orient Saloon, better known by the old timers as the place where Barney Riggs took care of a couple of Deacon Jim Miller's murdering friends. That's how this story starts. You got pictures and everything. Well, okay, so that's the book. That's interesting stuff. And that is available at that museum or on Amazon.
Right. Well, what happened is when I was introduced to Keith Humphreys, he was in his 90s. All of these paintings were stacked up in his garage. He had these books that had been printed, about 300 copies that had been printed here in El Paso. Most of those were in boxes in this garage. And so I got to worrying, okay, what's going to happen to these paintings?
Yeah.
And so he loaned them to Geronimo Springs Museum, somewhat grudgingly. They were his passion, but he loaned them, and they had a nice exhibit up there. And then we loaned them again to the Brannigan Museum in Las Cruces, and I gave a talk. I nominated him for a State Historic Preservation Award, which he received. And he was very pleased with the attention. And then upon his death, his daughter donated the paintings to Geronimo Springs Museum. So you can go to Geronimo Springs Museum and see the original paintings. But the books, there were only about 270 printed to begin with, and they all went out pretty quickly. And so his daughter, Bunky Griffith, very kindly has given the museum a license a copyright license to reprint the book. And so A donor in Las Cruces contributed the money to scan it, and then some volunteers made all the paintings come out to life. They improved the black and whites from the original, and then we indexed it. It didn't have an index, so now it's got 266 pages as opposed to the original 195. I wrote a foreword. Dan Aranda wrote a biography, and we wrapped all this together. And so it's now available at the Geronimo Springs Museum. Just need to call them up, 575-894-6600. Give them a call, and they'd be happy to arrange a purchase for you and mail it out to you.
Very interesting.
I posted a picture of the book on our Facebook page and that phone number and the website link for Geronimo Springs Museum and Truth or Consequences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can get to it one way or another by going to our Facebook page.
It's a nonprofit. It's a donation, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You guys are all volunteers.
Well, it's not a donation because you're getting a book in return. But every book you purchase helps that museum survive.
Sure.
You bet.
Interesting stuff. All right. Carl Lombaugh's in the house talking Central and Southern New Mexico history. We got more to talk about, I have a feeling.
Yes.
We're going to take a break and come back and deal with that because we have trivia.
We have trivia.
Are you ready to be trivial?
We're doing trivia.
I found another Pepe certificate.
Oh,
there it is.
For $20.
Or a bunch of DVDs.
Or DVDs. Yes, MacGuffin Home and the Smelter and Tom Lee's El Paso Women's Club. Ghost stories, you name it. We've got it out here.
I can't tell you enough about the Women's Club. I mean, I think people need to know about that history in El Paso. It's just, people ignore it. Like, oh, that's a bunch of, whoever they are.
Yeah, frou-frou
women.
We
don't care about that.
They were frou-frou, but they were tough.
I got news for you. They were El Paso in the day. And if you don't know that, the video will help you figure it out.
They made El Paso what it was, or what it is, I should say, today. So
it culturized it.
They set the bones.
Okay, what are we doing about this?
Well, we're talking about Keith J. Humphreys, who's the author of this wonderful book. But now he was a very interesting gentleman, and he did fly, and his favorite co-pilot that would fly with him.
Oh, we mentioned that.
We mentioned it earlier. We'd like to know who his favorite co-pilot was that would fly with Mr. Humphreys when he would check out all the sights.
We will take various answers
yes,
on
we'll
that,
take
including
various
the
answers.
Name of this individual.
Yes.
Fair enough?
Yes.
And you have another question behind that?
No, I don't.
Carl, we need to make up another question. Something about something we've said here. Oh, what was the name of this talk show host, the game show host?
Oh, who, yeah.
Yeah, when Truth,
for
or Consequences,
Truth or Consequences,
what was the name of
the
game show host?
Yes.
We do know that, don't we? Yes, we do. Don't say it. Okay, that's a trivia question.
Call
us up.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
To join us on our little weekend ride, you have to have an appetite for the big and the weird. And one of the towns we'll be passing through this weekend almost defines that concept. The word Alamogordo means big cottonwood, so let's talk big for a moment. To our west is the world's largest gypsum dune field called the White Sands National Monument. And the Holloman Air Force Base is home to some of the biggest drones in the world with names like the Predator and the Reaper. You can also see the world's largest pistachio at Pistachio Land. Obviously, now we're starting to veer into weird. At our landfill, there's believed to be buried millions of copies of the Atari video game E.T. You might even make the argument that E.T. was a biker of sorts himself. So to be a hog or a member of the Harley Owners Group, you really only need to be weird, because our bikes are big. And you can check them out at Barnett Harley Davidson, or take the same finger E.T. used to phone home and click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
All loans subject to lender approval. Must be in business 1 year and have $100,000 in annual revenue.
Trying to take your small business to the next level? There's a few things you're going to need. A great vision, dedication, and perseverance. But above all else, you're going to need capital. At OnDeck, we know having access to capital can be a game changer. That's why we're here to help entrepreneurs receive the capital they need from a lender they can trust. OnDeck has delivered over $6 billion in loans. And having earned an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, it's no wonder why 9 out of 10 customers would recommend OnDeck to a friend. OnDeck knows you're more than just your personal credit score. That's why they also evaluate your actual business performance. There's no obligation, and you could receive your loan decision in minutes and funding in as fast as one business day. Over 60,000 small businesses have already received the loans they needed, and now it's your turn.
Speak with our U.S.-based loan specialists and find out how much you qualify for now at OnDeckLending.com. That's OnDeckLending.com.
Bryce's lifeless body slumped over the piano keyboard. His forehead played a dissonant chord that reverberated throughout the hall. Not his best performance, I thought. I opened the back of his neck with my screwdriver. A couple of fresh bars of lithium brought him and the music back to life. I am sure that someday, he will do the same for me.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
Local legend AYB is back after a 17-year hiatus. Come on out to G2 at 2701 North Stanton on June 15th to be part of the reunion. Tickets are just $100, and all proceeds benefit a permanent fund for basketball in the barrio at the El Paso Community Foundation and can be purchased at epcf.org/basketball. Basketball in the Barrio is a 3-day camp that utilizes basketball, music, art, and more to teach leadership and excellence in Segunda Barrio and the Chamizal area. You don't want to miss this reunion show. Go to epcf.org/basketball to get your tickets today.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, we got the lines are now all full on the trivia. Got line three. What was that?
That is my microphone.
Don't tell anybody what that was. Okay, but coming in next week, June 17, our guest is Doug Pullen. Hear about the Plaza Classic Film Festival. But also, Doug is doing, they're doing something different in downtown history. We're going to hear what that is. June 24th. Oh, this is different. We're not going to be here June 24th.
I know.
But there will be people here doing this
radio. There'll be somebody here.
Live. Eastwood High School.
That's right.
The whole history of Eastwood. They're doing a huge physical renovation. The campus is totally, almost totally being destroyed and put back, but they're keeping a couple of things. So
the cannon.
The cannon, but also the gym. Anyway, Ron Lyman's going to be here. He's a former teacher. Nicole O'Leary, a current teacher, and Gary Pippen, a current coach who's been there his first time
since they opened.
66.
I know.
Anyway, Andrew J. Polk is going to host this program with Ron Lyman. Good luck to you guys. And Sergio, take care of these people. That's in 2 weeks, okay? In the meantime, we got, July 1st. Chris Orwall's coming in. He's the director of the New Mexico Museum of Space History in Alamogordo. And they got fireworks coming. They got big exhibits going on.
We're going to have fireworks in here? Oh, cool.
Inside the radio. Yeah. Well, we do that every day. You just can't always see it.
That's Sergio's head when we bang the microphones. Yes, like that.
This guy, Chris, has been through some interesting stuff. He'll be our guest on July 1 about the Alamogordo Museum, New Mexico Space Museum. And then Byrne, he's coming in July 8th. Bernie Sargent, talk about the National Day of the Cowboy. Oh, and then you got Spring Fire coming in later in the month. Oh,
yay,
what a trip this is
going to
be.
A lot of fun.
All right, we had a third caller come in. We had Bob Kitty. And who is that third one? Sergio, can you tell me who's on her page over there? There you go. I don't have it. Whatever. Let's go to whoever's on first. Let's go to Kitty. Kitty, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning.
Morning, Kitty.
What's the question?
When Keith Humphreys flew his plane, he had a four-legged co-pilot by the name of...
Oh, I thought it was a truth or consequences question.
Oh, no,
well,
you can answer that one.
You can do that one.
We got two out there.
Okay, Art Linkletter.
No! But that was a good guess.
Close.
That was the era. But he was a different dude back then. Thank you for playing.
No.
All right, we got Bob on three. Who's on two? I need to know who that is on two. Bob is on three. Bob's on the radio. Good morning.
Ralph Edwards.
There you go.
Truth
Bob
or consequences.
Won that one. You knew that one. So, do we need that other call, Sergio? No, okay, fine. Well, Bob, then you're the winner of the day, dude. You want a Pepe's? You want a DVD? What you got?
I'd like the Legends of the Mountain DVD.
All right. You know why? There's a famous guy in there.
I know it.
And it's Bob. This is Bob Keller.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, Carl. How are you?
Not too bad.
I got to get that book, too.
It's a fascinating book, Bob.
Yeah, you'll love every bit of it. I'm always finding something new in it.
Great. I need to talk to you, too, but I can't make it to lunch today.
Well, give me a shout.
All right.
Hold on, Bob. You know how this works? We pick up a prize for you here? Yes, you do. All right, hold on.
Stay on the line. Talk to you later, Bob.
Thanks a lot. Do we have he took off. Bob, call back.
Oh, Bob.
Sorry about that. And we have no other third caller. Who's on two, please? I need to know these things. Two is Chester. Chester's on the radio. Good morning. How are you? We got Chester? And we have no other third caller. Who's on two, please? How'd you do that, Sergio?
That's Chester. Chester's on the radio. Magic. Good morning. How are you? We got Chester?
And we have no
Sergio.
Other third call.
He wants to talk.
Sergio.
Who's on two?
The delay is running. How'd you do that, Sergio?
That's Chester. Chester's
that's
on the radio.
Magic.
Good morning. How?
I hate being repetitive.
I don't know what's going on. Let's go to break. What do you say?
Let's go to break.
Take a break. Back in a moment.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text online to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 88% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, text online to 35517. That's O-N-L-I-N-E to 35517.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Paid for by Amicus Media.
Attention. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Legal Helpline now at 800-797-3813. Our experienced attorneys can get you the compensation you deserve. There are no fees to pay unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call now. 800-797-3813. Operator standing by 24/7. Call 800-797-3813. That's 800-797-3813.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, got lots going on in here. I'm going to tell you right now about this week only in El Paso.
What's next for Paul Foster? In an exclusive interview, the El Paso billionaire businessman talks about life after Western Refinery, the renovation of the Plaza Hotel, and bringing soccer to El Paso.
Also in the ink this weekend, the winners and losers of the legislative session.
Why residents are angry about Del Sol Medical Center buying homes and using driveways and yards for employee parking.
El Paso Inc. is online at elpasoinc.com and available for home and business delivery.
Call El Paso Inc. at 915-534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, the program is live and interactive. You can send in your comments or questions via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. That's Stephanie Guadian hosting Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7. Thank you very much. We had a caller come in here. We need to talk to us. Name is Esteban. Esteban's on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. Victoria was the son of Geronimo. Is that correct?
No, no. I'm not sure who Victoria's father was. He was a band leader. Geronimo was a Bodoncohe Apache, and that band was at the head of the Gila. Victorio was a Chihine, a Chiende, red paint people, and their band was farther to the east, either the Mimbres or the Warm Springs, and so they were contemporaries.
Was it in the 1870s, more or less, was Victorio's heyday, I'm assuming, but what was his circuit of motion? Did he travel as far as Sierra Blanca, Guadalupe, San Rosario, northern Mexico, and come back in through Palomas?
Well, I don't know how far to the east he got, but the Apache married outside of their groups. So there was a lot of intermarriage between Mescalero and the various Chiricahua bands, and between the various Chiricahua bands. So there's every possibility that Victorio was familiar with the Sacramentos and this area. The Chiricahua seasonal round encompassed most of southwestern New Mexico, part of southeastern Arizona, and northern Mexico. The Apache lifestyle incorporated coming down into where the agave was during the wintertime. And so for the Mescalero, it was an easy jump to come out of the high country in the Sacramentos and down into the Guadalupes. And for the White Mountain and Western Apaches, they could come off the Mogollon Rim and be down in the bottom in Arizona just within a fairly short distance. But for the Chiricahuas, they had to go all the way down to Janos and into Mexico to get to those same resources during the winter. So they had a bigger regional round, and as a result, it was more easily broken up when both the Spanish-Mexican governments came in from the south and the Americans from the north.
Could you finally describe the famous battle between the, I'm not sure if it was Victorio's group and the cavalry unit in Dog Canyon?
Dog Canyon?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there were several battles there. I know that the troops pursued them into Dog Canyon and then had rocks rolled down on them. But I don't know which battle in particular you might be talking about. The first battle I'm aware of actually happened during the Spanish period when Hugo O'Connor, who was a redheaded Irishman in charge of Spanish troops, led an expedition into the Sacramentos, and I believe he had a battle in Dog Canyon. That was in the 1770s. And then during the cavalry era, 1870s, and the Victoria War, I know troops pursued some Mescaleros into there, but I don't know too much more about it.
Fantastic. And when did he die, and where did he finally die, Victorio?
Victorio was killed on October the 14th of 1880 at Tres Castillos, which is in north and east of Chihuahua in Mexico. And he had been pursued pretty ruthlessly. He was pretty much out of ammunition. He had 60 or so women and children with him, or 60 warriors and maybe 100 women and children. A lot of the warriors, Nane, his segundo, were out looking for ammunition, and Governor Terrazas from Chihuahua, had a small army of both Mexican regulars and Tarahumaras. And they found them out there and surrounded them. And by all accounts, and actually Humphreys addresses this in his book, by all accounts, it was a massacre. The Apaches had enough ammunition for about one round, and then after that, it was all hand fighting. And the next morning, they took the adolescent boys out to an arroyo and shot them, and they took the women and children down to Chihuahua. And just recently, in the Princeton Library of all places, there's a photograph taken by an El Paso photographer, we think, of the women and children in captivity in Chihuahua. It's a very, very sad photograph. You can You can tell they're Chiricahuas by the toes on the moccasins that are turned up, and standing behind them are men guarding them, and they have scalps on poles, which we assume are the scalps of the men. But let me read you just real quickly an account from the Humphreys book that deals with this. He says, long ago in an Ojinaga saloon, an old Mexican officer of the Apache period retold the Tres Castillos fight to a room full of drinkers. The sober sat listening intently as he described the grit and guts of the Apache women, how many fought to death with only a knife. He admitted the Apaches were out of ammo after the first short volley. Then it was a massacre. It's a wonder what a few drinks will bring out. The drunks slept on through the story, as drunks always do, all except one who raised his groggy head from under a cloud of flies and, to the surprise of all and in good English, said, "That is just the kind of woman I'm looking for," and passed out, his head falling back in the beer soup on the bar.
I don't want to know. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care. Now, that was a bit more descriptive than I was ready for, but that was very good.
But that's oral history. That's
This is Humphreys. This is Apache land from those who lived it.
And that's the point. That's what this book is.
That's right. And that book is available at Geronimo Springs Museum, Apache Land from Those Who Lived It by Keith Humphreys. And the cost at Geronimo Springs Museum is $50. It's also available on Amazon. If you call up the museum at 575-894-6600, they will happily take your order.
There you go. Another caller on the phone. I think this is trivia. Dan, are you doing trivia? Dan?
Yes. If nobody's answered the question for the little dog's name, little dog that flew with Keith was Bowser.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Okay. Hey, you're cheating, Dan. You wrote that.
I think the
this is the author?
This is Dan Aranda.
Dan Aranda.
I recognize that voice.
I loved your article.
We better give him the prize, huh?
That's right. Dan has his biography of Keith is in this book.
When did you write that article?
Oh, gosh, it's been a few years. I think I wrote it for the Southern New Mexico Historical Review. And I agree with Carl. You know, I think there's some real gems in the book. You know, people will take it tongue in cheek, but if you look a little closer, you're going to find some real gems in there, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, this is hardcore West stories, kind of uncut.
Well, mm-hmm. and other things led to, like I was telling Jackson earlier, you were mentioning a gentleman by the name of Diedrich Dutchover.
Yes,
and for some reason that name tickled my senses, and I went back and looked him up, and what a guy, what a character he was.
Yeah, he was.
And that had nothing to do with this, but I mean.
I wrote an article on Diedrich Dutchover many years ago, and I'm reworking it as a chapter in a book with hopefully some new information.
Ooh.
And, I was dating a girl at the time, and I had mentioned, some of these lesser-known characters, deserve a little more, and I'd like to write about people such as Diedrich Dutchover, and she looked at me kind of funny, and next date I found out, well, that was her great-great-grandfather.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a small world around here sometimes.
It really is, that was kind of an introduction to Keith in a way, because he grew up in West Texas, and he even produced a picture of mother-in-law, when she got married, he knew a lot about the Dutchover family, so it is a small world.
It is, Dan. In fact, I think it's so small. Weren't you in the radio show here one time?
No, I went up there with when Dave Thomas was there, but,
you came with him. You didn't get on the air, but you said you were writing a book. This is the same book.
Oh, okay.
I remember that. Well, when you get it done, call us, all right?
Huh?
When you get the book done, call us.
Oh, yeah. It's still a little ways off yet, but, a lot of it, some of Keith's stuff's in there too, because I found some stuff that nobody else had found other than Keith. So,
it's interesting. In New Mexico, are you guys finding this stuff now in old trunks in the attic, or where
sometimes?
Yeah, okay. Keep looking.
You never can tell. Like I say, who would have thought in the Princeton archives you're going to have a photograph of the Apache captives in Chihuahua after 1880?
Yeah. That's gracious. Well, Dan, you got yourself a prize here because you won that, having known the answer because you wrote the book. Would you like a Pepe certificate? Would you like a DVD? What you need?
Oh, you know, Pepe's is always good. I enjoy going out there.
I figured you'd like that. Fair enough. We got you a Pepe certificate. And talk to the lovely Shelley. We'll come on and tell you how to pick that up. Thanks a lot. Hold on.
Very good. Enjoy your program.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Dan.
You take care. Hold on. And that's an interesting history there all by itself. Yeah. All right. Sergio, we need one more break for the end of the show, do we not? Should we do that? And we need to come back. And do you have another wrap-up you want to do?
Oh, I've got another little rattle here about a different aspect of Comfrey's work.
And you got something.
I've got something. There's a gentleman called Bernie earlier this week, and he is a wonderful fan of ours. His name is George Zavala, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out because he was just going on and on and on and on and on and on how much he loves this show, and we always got to give our fans a shout-out.
Well, the thing is, one reason that you like this kind of stuff, love it, however, but Carl, you and I were talking about this, I think, off the air, but let's talk about on air a bit, and that is that this is fascinating history in the Southwest, mm-hmm. and what your Southern New Mexico, our West Texas, the northern Mexico, this entire area has a fascinating background.
Oh, my gosh.
But most of us don't know it because we weren't taught this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so where do you go to find it? In Las Cruces, where do you go to find this kind of history? In it's not in the schools, generally speaking. So what do you tell people to teach their kids?
Well, the New Mexico Farm and Ranch Heritage Museum has lot of information. And they do a wide variety of exhibits that change in over time, and then they've got a permanent exhibit that takes you through from the early days on the way through. And their focus, of course, is agriculture, but everything was related in one way or another. So they have a great program out there to give you a lot of information. The Brannigan Cultural Center also. In downtown Las Cruces.
We're talking prehistory all the way through now, everything?
On the farm and ranch, yes, absolutely.
Okay. The issue in El Paso is that we have a history museum downtown that basically starts with the Spanish Entrada forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the archaeology museum is supposed to take care of everything from Spanish backwards.
Right.
So that's the distinction here in El Paso.
Right. And the El Paso Archaeological Society and the Archaeological Museum is a real treasure for El Paso.
Oh, it's fascinating.
You should be very proud of that you have it.
Take a look at it, folks. It's interesting history, and that's on Trans Mountain Road. All right, taking a break here, coming back in a moment. And the Facebook is active. You got Carl up there?
I've got Carl up there. I've got a picture of the book and where you can get a hold of it at the Truth of Consequences Museum. Geronimo Springs Museum and Truth
in
of Consequences.
Truth of Consequences.
Truth of Consequences, with a phone number and their website. So
there.
Holler.
Coming back in just a moment.
Men, you know how women are always suggesting something looks really good on you, and you think it's because they want to change you? It's the exact opposite. Frigo by RevolutionWear.com is underwear reimagined, the ideal solution for all that squirming and adjusting you're experiencing. Frigo by RevolutionWear.com releases you from pinching, pulling, and restricting. And trust me, they love the way it looks on you. Frigo by RevolutionWear.com. The revolution starts below.
To join us on our little weekend rides, you have to have an appetite for the big and the weird. And one of the towns we'll be passing through this weekend almost defines that concept. The word Alamogordo means big cottonwood. So let's talk big for a moment. To our west is the world's largest gypsum dune field called the White Sands National Monument. And the Holloman Air Force Base is home to some of the biggest drones in the world with names like the Predator and the Reaper. You can also see the world's largest pistachio at Pistachio Land. Obviously, now we're starting to veer into weird. At our landfill, there's believed to be buried millions of copies of the Atari video game E.T. You might even make the argument that E.T. was a biker of sorts himself. So to be a hog or a member of the Harley Owners Group, you really only need to be weird, because our bikes are big. And you can check them out at Barnett Harley Davidson, or take the same finger E.T. used to phone home and click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
This is Scotty Clark with Scott Heating and Cooling, with a fantastic offer for you and your family. It's peace of mind, the peace of mind that comes from knowing that you've chosen the very best, like the new XV20 split system from Trane. So with 24/7 service, 0% financing for 72 months, a 10-year parts and labor warranty, a lifetime warranty on my installation, and as always, my personal guarantee that you'll be satisfied or I will buy it back. What are you waiting for? Call the very best today, Scott Heating and Cooling, at 595-4
Come celebrate the new store grand opening of Napa Auto Parts, Saturday, June 10th from 10 to 3 at 6310 North Mesa. The Rock and Roll Trailer Sales Event features a classic car show, Napa race cars, and Napa special activities for the entire family with food, entertainment, prize giveaways, and special Napa sales and discounts like a quart of Napa Standard Oil for only 99 cents. Make Napa your first call for the tools and equipment you need. And don't miss the grand opening, Saturday, June 10th at 6310 North Mesa.
Little Caesars, the home of the large hot and ready pizzas, like the classic pepperoni for $5 and the deep, deep dish pepperoni for $8. And don't forget the crazy bread. All this and more at Little Caesars, plus tax at participating locations.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot going on here. I want to tell you about DVDs for Father's Day. What a solution to your Father's Day question.
Something unique.
Go get some DVDs at the Los Portales Museum in San Elizario. They've got them there. They've got El Paso Mission Trail Association, 9065 Alameda, Tigua Indian Cultural Center, 305 Yaya.
Yaya
Lane, and Licon Dairy Asaderos, and that's in Glorieta Road in San Elizario. Escamilla Fine Arts there on Main Street. And just to let you know, the DVDs are available, and also at Pepe's. You can buy DVDs.
Right.
But just to let you know, Pepe's is going to be on vacation. They're actually going to take off some time and close the restaurant for a couple of weeks. So don't be surprised if you go out there between July 3 and 17 that they ain't there.
That's right.
What you've got to do is go ahead of time and order some to go. Carry out and go freeze it at home.
Yeah, I was just going to say, freeze the enchiladas or chili rellenos.
So anyway, July 3 through 17, they're going to be undisposed.
Yes.
No food. But when they come back, he says what they do, they come back and they restock and they just get back into it. All right, caller on the phone.
I want to talk about...
Oh, you got something.
Don't forget our buddies, our little history club. The people at El Paso, remember in El Paso when, which has over 28,000 members, and they're always putting those great pictures out there. Barbara Given Bainey and Mario Robles and El Paso and the surrounding area, Bay Back Bend with Mark Lindell. They've just got all those fantastic pictures. So we're always talking about it, but here you can actually see the pictures, experience it, put pictures up of your own out there.
Barbara runs the graphics department for the radio show.
Oh, I know. She's wonderful.
That's what she does.
That's right.
On the phone now, shall we talk to a man named Prince?
Yes, talk to a man.
Prince, got you on the radio, dude. What's on your mind?
Howdy. I just wanted to tell your listeners that this is it's a really interesting show, and that's a great museum. It's one of the most important museums in southern New Mexico. But most important of all, I want your listeners to know I'm an art historian, and this is a really great document. This book that he's been talking about is a great document on El Paso's history, or on the regional history. Both sides of the border, New Mexico, West Texas, it's an amazing history. And everybody should get that book. And oftentimes we have early artists of the late 19th century, the early 20th century, and they paint pictures of what they see, but they don't know, in many cases, like this author did, he actually researched the story behind those pictures. And so that book is really a great document, and that collection of art is one of the most important in the Southwest. And how important is it? Sanford Cox, who died last month, endowed the University of Texas at El Paso a professorship just to study this kind of art in the Southwest. It is so important to our history, and I'm so glad that that book was reprinted, and it's a real treasure for our region.
Thank you, Prince. Very good summation. Thank you very much for that.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you. Absolutely.
We'll see you in the streets, all right?
I'd like to say one more thing.
Sure.
I'd like to invite all of your listeners to come to the main library downtown. Our Railroad Museum has a great exhibit on the arrival and the early history of the Southern Pacific Railroad. Next Later on in the month, we're going to be changing it over to the arrival of the Santa Fe Railroad that came to through our Southwest and arrived in El Paso in June. And so, and there's a lot of really good art in this exhibition, and there are three different pieces of art that show how important the Union Plaza area is to the history of El Paso.
Yep. Well, thank you, sir. Take it easy.
Thank you.
And he's with the Railroad Museum here in El Paso.
Okay, very good. I'd like to talk to him sometime.
And five, your number for the book and the museum.
Absolutely. It's Geronimo Springs Museum, 575-894-6600 in Truth or Consequences. Call them up, and they would happily mail you, arrange for a purchase and mailing you. It's $50 per book. It's a little more expensive on Amazon. They take their share, of course.
We got about 3 minutes here. Give us another story here.
Okay, one quick story. Now, two things for those of you interested. On July 13th at 7 o'clock, it's a Thursday evening at the Farm and Ranch Museum in Las Cruces. I'm giving a lecture about Keith Humphreys and his art.
Oh, my God.
When is that?
July 13th on a Thursday, 7 o'clock, Farm and Ranch Museum. It's their monthly lecture. I'm also doing that lecture in Santa Fe at the Hotel Santa Fe on Monday, August 28th, if anybody happens to be in Santa Fe.
That sounds like a nice place to go.
But
cool.
But anyway, just to give you another little example of the prose and the breadth of Humphrey's search, one of his earlier stories came from a man named Natividad Padilla that he met at near Whiskey Creek in Silver City in 1933. Natividad claimed that he was 100 years old, had been born in Janos, so he was born in 1833, and his father had helped the mule trains take the copper from Santa Rita to Janos, and his father told him the story about the lost Spanish mine in the Cavallo Mountains and how about 1818 somebody had found a little vein of gold up there, and they wanted to go mine it, and he went with them that first year, but he didn't like it. They found the gold, but he didn't like it because it was too easy to get caught by the Apaches up in that high rocky country, so he wouldn't go back. So the next year, the others went back, and the Apaches did catch them. Now, there's more to that story, but you have to get the book to hear the rest of the story of what happened to that Spanish mine.
Teaser.
And that's just above the Caballo Reservoir in central New Mexico.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you can see Caballos. Those holes up on that mountain as you drive by. Go ahead.
But here's this example of Humphrey's prose. Natividad showed me a small, very old painting of his father on a Grullo mule done by another amateur. Keith always referred to himself as an amateur artist in Chihuahua City. A man of the 1830 period, firm and heavy beard, a large hat of beaver turned down, and of snowshoe shape with a boot on top to accept the long black hair, tied in back with a red ribbon. A jacket of chewed deerskin, the fringes frayed and some missing, as sometimes used in haste to wad a muzzle-loading rifle. The breeches tight at the buttocks, flared at the bottoms, where once bells might have jingled in corral dust or jangled over fandango floors. Spurs of copper and soft iron wrought from the furnaces of Corralitos. Where do you get a description like that?
Apache land for those who lived it.
That's right. Available Geronimo Springs Museum.
That music Fantastic. Says we're out of here, Carl Lombaugh. Right. Thanks for coming in. See you at Pepe's right after the show here.
Sounds good.
About 12:30, we'll be out there, 5751 Donovan. Everybody out next week, right?
That's right.
EPHistory.com for details of the radio show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
Nearly two-thirds of us say we want to eat healthy.